do you have to have for you to make you happy, you reckon? You know, as I said, whenever I was growing up, you didn't have many things. You could count your things, but nowadays we got so many things, gadgets and new things. How many things would you have to make you happy? Most of us in here wants more things. Y'all know it? Most of us wants more things. Now, every one of us, things. Them things covers a pretty good subject, really. But things will not make you happy. Jesus Christ is teaching about the accumulation of things. Nothing wrong except with having things. The place things have in our life is very, very important. The Bible teaches that there's nothing wrong with things or even having things. That's not the problem. That is not the problem. Nothing wrong with that, of having things. Matthew 6 and 32 and 33 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's one of my favorite verses of scripture, that verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because you see, if you put him first, there's a lot of things you put second then if you put God first. And he says to put God first. And a lot of things you think you need, you really don't need. And 1 Timothy 6 and 17 said, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they may not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Nothing wrong with accumulation of things or having things. It's wrong when we let things have us. Like I said, whenever money has us, all right to have money. Jesus teaching now there's the earthly and the heavenly things, and he's also teaching here about the clear and the blurred eyes, and he's talking about the two masters in these verses of scriptures that I read in Matthew chapter 19 through 24. Why is the importance of things that Jesus Christ expressed? Listen, that the words of Jesus Christ, there's many things he had to talk about, and here Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, penned these words from Jesus' lips. Because they have such an impact on our heart and on our mind and on our will. These things in every area of our life. So Jesus Christ talks about these things that have an impact on the affections of your heart to start with. Need to be very, very careful because they have an affection upon your heart. Verse 19 again, "Lay not up for yourself upon earth," you know, but it says, "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." And that verse 21 says, "For where your heart is, there will be..." Where your treasures is, your heart will be also. Accumulation of things. Most of us has got a lot of things that we have accumulated. There's a desire for these things. It's a very strong desire, is it not? I mean, a lot of times we find ourselves, that's the reason we're working, for have more things. Have you ever noticed we're never satisfied with things? None of us are exempt from the temptation of accumulation, requiring things. And others, we never satisfied. You know, if you get a house, you want a bigger house. You get this house, and you want to paint it a different color. And you get this furniture a little while, that furniture, you want some more furniture. And you got this car a little while, you want another car. And we're just never satisfied, always got to have things. I mean, in the kitchen, ladies, look at the things y'all have in the kitchen, and also the washer and the dryer and all these things, you know. And they come out with a microwave oven, you know, and that speed things up. And everybody runs out and get a microwave oven because you can fix things real fast. And then for long to come out with a slow cooker. Want to slow things down. You got to have them things, you know. They always come out some things. You got to have them things. If it's to get something fast and got something slow, you know. And then they got all different types of things. I just think about the things that me and Joyce have that we won't ever use. Joyce saved things. She saved things. I'm telling you what, she saves an old bone. I'll tell you, she saves everything. She piles up everything. She saves everything. We need to give it away. Just want to save everything. Are y'all like that? Any of y'all like that? Want to save things? Just keep saving things, saving things. We got things. I tell you what, I got so many things saved. When I know I have it and I need it, I go look for it and I go buy it because I know I can't find it. I got so many things. Y'all that same boat? I know good and well I got it, but I run to town because it's a whole lot easier to buy it is to try to find it around the house. I got all kind of things that I won't never use. And like I say, Joy, she's saving all kind of things. All the time we got things, oh Lord, that things we got. We need to give them away to somebody that can use them. We're never going to use them. You know, I was thinking of Vince going on the mission trip, and David Lewis. Some of y'all remember David Lewis that was here on an old church over there. Y'all remember David Lewis and had come and spoke down in Mexico, gave his whole life and art to go and serve down in Mexico. And he come and give us a couple of speeches and down in Mexico. Well, you know, he went down and went into the mission field and just gave his whole life to the Lord. And so it's awful good to understand that, you know, you need to go be around missionaries sometime because they give so much. But anyhow, this David Lewis, he had a mother and father back here in Hazelhurst and a daughter. So he just left everything. His mother and father finally passed away. And then he's come back home to see his daughter. And going back to Mexico or going back to Texas, he had a wreck. And he got killed in a car wreck here right to the side of Baxley. It's a little that ways when he had left. And me and Brother Ben Glosson went on down to Mexico in a few months from then. And where he's staying out at the mission there in Texas, where he's staying out, they give him a little house to stay in. And if he'd work around that mission, they'd, you know, furnish him a place to stay. And me and Brother Glosson went through his things. He already wanted to give all his clothes to the mission field. And we got through getting up all the stuff, bring back to his daughter. He only had two boxes. Everything that man accumulated in his life was reduced down to two boxes about that big. Wonder how many boxes it would take tonight for you to put all your things in. Wonder how many, I mean, no house, no car. Give us clothes away, and everything reduced down to two boxes. How many boxes would it take to put your things in tonight? He gave everything to the Lord. That's the reason it's so important to understand missions, because when I go down to where these people give everything to the Lord and I get a chance to see my life and I see how little that I do for the Lord, it makes me very, very ashamed of myself. And I think about so much time that I spend on things that I'm not going to have in the future, because I'm going to have to turn them loose. Y'all know that? You're going to do the same thing. These things ain't going to mean a whole lot to you in the future. And I just do so little for the Lord. And he tells us about these things, and he says, lay up. Now that word means lay up, means stockpile, as I do. It means hoard up. You ever seen on television these people that hoard up things and just can't walk around their house like this, and they got newspapers and magazines stacked up all around the house? That's kind of the way it is at our house. We save all kind of things. Not quite that bad, but it's talking about hoarding up things. And most of us are guilty of this, you know, because a lot of times there's nothing wrong with saving things, but you know, we hoard up things that we really need to give away to help somebody. Stockpile, hoard up. You see? Now, how many clothes you got that you won't never wear? Good gracious, I'm telling you, there's people that needs to wear them. You see, there's nothing wrong laying back for the future. That's not what the Lord's talking about. It's all right. Proverbs 6, it says, you're talking about the ant. He says, you know, consider her ways, you know, because she makes preparation in the summertime for the winter. So there's nothing wrong with hoarding up things. I'm not hoarding things up. Nothing wrong with laying up things. As long as we don't hoard up things. Because you see, it says, you know, you need to do that. Look out for your future. The proper place, a time of storing up things. But using things to help others. How many things that we got we could help others with, our time, our talent, and everything we have around the house that we could use helping others? Ephesians 4 and 28, it says, let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Help somebody else. 2 Corinthians 12 and 14 says, behold, the third time I have already to come to you, I will not be burdensome to you, but I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Lay up something is all right. That's not what Jesus is talking about for us to lay up and save something, but rather talking about hoarding up things where our treasure will affect our heart. It will affect our heart, these things. The Jews at this time, whenever Jesus Christ was talking about it, they looked at this thing and had three views of things. The source of prosperity, if a person was very prosperous that day, and Jesus Christ was talking about, and if they was very prosperous, they'd have, you know, a closet full of clothes. They'd have more than one changing of clothes. You see, all in the Bible, it says, you know, they give them two changing of clothes or three. That was something very, very valuable. You know, and I said not many years ago, that was something very valuable right here if you had more than one changing of clothes. You know, a lot of you remember going to school, you didn't have to come in, you better pull off them school breeches. And I don't know about girls, but you see, you better pull off them school breeches. You didn't have all that many clothes to go out there and wear out. You save your shoes if you had any. And we like to go barefoot a lot, but you better save them shoes. You see, clothes was one of the things. If somebody had a lot of clothes, they was very prosperous at Jesus' time. Or, you know, they had a big crop, and that was the same thing, you know, in this farming area that we live in. If you had a big crop, you know, that would be a very prosperous person if you had a big crop. And the third thing was gold. Gold, if you had some gold. See, it was garment, grain, and gold. You was a very prosperous person. That's what they looked. That was a view of prosperity at Jesus' time. But Jews make the same mistake then as we make today. If a person is very, very blessed, you know, with material things, you see, that means they're very spiritual. That's not right. They might have a lot of material things, but that don't mean they're spiritual. That does not mean they're spiritual. Look at old Job, you know, look what he had. And they accused him of the same thing after his family was taken away, his health was taken away, and his money was taken away. You know, his three friends accused him of sin, but that wasn't what it was. They thought it was very spiritual to start with, and after it all took away, you must have done something bad. But they didn't have anything to do with it. Things. Look at things. There's warning, you know, about these things that we look at. Well, it says here, be careful about where you put them because moth will eat your garments. See, he says about put your things up where moth can't get to it. Moth will eat your garments. Y'all remember when you had to have moth balls? As I said, when I was coming along, you know, they'd eat up your clothes. You had to have a cedar chest or cedar wardrobe, and then you'd put moth balls everywhere you had to put moth balls because the moth would eat your clothing. But you don't have to worry about it nowadays because our clothes are treated. You don't have to worry about moth. That's really, you don't have moth balls anymore because all of our clothes are treated. They get treated with chemicals. All that you wear, you don't have to worry about moth balls. They hardly even find them if you buy them nowadays because they don't need them. But you got to be very careful because the moth would eat them up. So you stored up your clothes, and that's where your riches was, your things. You kept gathering up clothes, and the moth would just eat them up, and then they'd be gone. You couldn't even wear them anymore. And then it says rust. Some think maybe that was talking about rust with corrode, but maybe it's talking about rats. I even read a commentary, and that makes more sense, rats, because they thought grain, if they stored up grain, they'd be wealthy. Well, rats, you know what they'll do? They'll just eat up all the grain they are. I mean, if you got corn, they'll just eat up all your grain. But whether it's rust, whether it's rats, whatever it might be, but storing up your crops, people store up their crops, and, you know, if the rats would eat it up or it mold, and it's something that happened to your crop, and you wouldn't have it anymore, there'd go your wealth. Or it says, you know, where thieves break through, and that word breaking through because, as you know, at Jesus' time, they didn't have houses that we do today. They just had mud houses, and they didn't have to worry about knocking the door down. They just knock a hole and just dig a hole in the wall. You see where it says thieves dig through? Well, that's what it's talking about. They didn't have to worry about coming in through the door. They just dig a hole in the side of the wall and come on in your house, and there you go, the mud houses. Verse 19 and 20, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust, could be rats, does corrupt, and where thieves break through, they steal. Lay up your treasures there in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Material things, you know what, they just don't last. They just don't last. You know, when you bought that new car, and before long there'll be a scrape down the side of it, won't they? If you let George drive it, I guarantee you there'd be a scrape down the side of it. It's awful easy, ain't it? They're like new car is. You carry it out to Walmart, so somebody's open the door and it's against your car. You know, and then that rust will pop up on it. You think it's going to last forever, then before long you find out there's an old spot on your car that's got some rusty spots on it. Because you see, material things, they won't last, will they? I mean, that's pretty coming out of the showcase, but it won't last. Material things, you know what? They won't really satisfy neither. Because there's always something different. As I said, you got a microwave, and then you got to have a slow pot. You know, things don't last. Always, you see on television, me and Joyce, we in exercising now. We in our exercising mood. Now, we got two exercise equipment. I guarantee you, we ain't wore out neither one of them. They'll be brand new this time next year, I guarantee you. Man, you look on television, they got this new one coming out. Boy, now that thing will really work. You lose 50 pounds in 1 week if you just buy this exercise equipment. And next week, they got another one out. This is a different. You ever notice that? And I'll tell you folks right now, I believe every one of them will work if you'd use them. But always different. They come out with something different. And you better have this one because, hey, this one here, Ad, boy, if you get this one here now, look at what you're going to look like in just 30 days. Just 30 days. I want y'all to look at me the next 30 days. I got two of these exercise equipment. What I'm going to look like, me and Joyce, in 30 days. We're not going to use them. I don't know where I got off on that for. I went to yard sale many times, and you know what? I ain't never seen. Those things always at yard sale. If you want to buy some exercise equipment, go to yard sale, and I've never seen one of them wore out. I never seen one wore out. All of them looked like it was a one condition. Because they set them in the house to hang clothes on them. Ain't that right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I must be getting through to y'all tonight. All these things. You think you got to have it now? You got to have this thing, and you got to have that thing to lose weight. You got to have that thing lose weight. Always things. You know what? Things, you know, as I said, material things, they don't ever last. They don't ever satisfy you. You got to have something different. And, you know, material things, they don't ever bring security to you either. Remember, they'll break in and steal. They don't bring security to you. What you have to exchange in order to give it to someone else for be a blessing. Verse 21 again says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There your heart be also. Put your time and your talent and your treasures where your interest is at. Help someone. You know, we have our teen kids and our youth out there. That's one of our greatest potentials of our church growth is out there in our youth and our teen kids. That's our greatest potential. We need to put all of our assets in that way to try to get more kids. And those kids that don't know how to serve the Lord, we need to teach them how. Jesus Christ was talking to us, that rich young ruler had come to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 22, he came to Jesus Christ, and said, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but God. You know what he said that? He didn't say that because he said, if you can't call me God, you can't call me good, because there's not none good but God. So what it is, you can't call me good if you can't call me God, because there's none good but God. Then he says, that is, God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt have love thy neighbor as thyself. This young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lackest I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How about giving away your things down to two boxes? Giving away your things down to two boxes. Be very careful about your material things that have an impact upon your affections of your heart. Things have an impact on the perception of our mind. You know that? You know the advertisement, things. You got to have things, like I said, look at television now, these things. Now, they focus on a certain group of people according to what they advertise. And, you know, they know how to get these kids' attention with these designer clothes. They got to have the right name for these kids and the right shoes for these kids to have. And they got to have the right type of telephone. I don't know what they call these iPods or Pods Eye or whatever these things is they got to have. They got a certain name brand that you got to have to be up with that bunch of group over there. Why do they do that, you reckon? Why those kids know this? Because they use this. These things, they have a perception of your mind. Be careful now about your mind. Because Jesus Christ says, you know, give example of our eyesight as we see these things. Verse 22 and 23 of Matthew that we have just read, that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness? If the eye be single, you know what that means? If the eye be single, that means if the eye be healthy and if the eye be clear. You know, have you ever, I just had to quit whenever I saw this. And yes, you know, I said, Lord, have you ever thanked the Lord for your eyesight? Now, you know what? Just think what God has allowed your eyes to see. Most of us have children, wife, husband, family, loved ones, friends. You know that God has allowed you to see, a lot of us, to see your little baby come into this world, your kids and your grandkids. Can you imagine the people that can't see their kids? Look at what God has allowed your eyes to see as long as you've been here on this earth. If your eyes are healthy, things you've seen, you ever thank Lord for your hearing? I just thought about the hearing. And I always think about the family. If you ever think about your little ones when they say, "Dad, Dad, I love you," or "Mom, Mom, I love you," you think about how sweet that is to hear. And then to speak. Isn't it a blessing? If the eye be evil, that means blurred, being darkness. A lot of you in here have had eye operations. That we had a little baby, they have an eye operation. You know, the eye operation, they might see better. Don't get money and things between you and the Lord that you might not. You know what it takes to blind your eyes there? Just hold up two quarters in front of the eye, and you know what? You can't see anything. It don't take but 50 cents. That's all it take. You couldn't be able to see anything if you hold up two quarters before your eyes. So think about this. You'd be out of business. People never see the spiritual things or eternal things because they see the material things. Be careful, he says. Decision of your will. He's talking about your heart, your mind, and then the decision of your will there in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen. No man can serve two masters, he's talking about. Now, this is not very familiar with us at this time, but we can't grasp this unless we go back, you see. And that's what you need to do when you read and study your Bible. You got to get in and just get in with both feet and just get in there and live by everybody. When he's talking about serving your master, there was so many slaves whenever Jesus Christ was speaking about this, and people knew about slavery. And if you was a slave, then that you had one master. And everything that master told you to do, it was his will. You had one single master. Total responsibility, your will, was to that one master because you was a slave. You couldn't serve two masters because one would have all your will. It was not your will, but their will. So you couldn't serve two masters. They understood when he said about masters that you can't serve two because you're a slave. Then, but they that will be rich, think about this money now. 1 Timothy 9 and 10, this is the very thing about the things, even money and riches. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and snares and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they will err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Money to use to get things. Things. Just think about things. They that will be rich. And that means that I'm going to be rich, I'm going to buy these things, I'm going to have it no matter what it costs me. And a lot of people has that attitude and it affects their heart and their mind and their will, and they lose a lot by getting things with this money. They climb the ladder and they find out the ladder's leaning against the wrong building. They climb the top of the ladder and they find out what they've been looking for is not up there. Oh, how sad it is in life, and then all seen it in life and family, and also seen it in church. When people begin to serve the Lord and begin to be prosperous and material things creeps in their life, number one, after a while you see them, they begin to miss church, and it don't take much for them to miss. So one little thing come along, they miss, another little thing come along, they miss, and for long, you know what, they're just completely out. No man can serve two masters. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't serve the masters. You can't serve God and these material things. Be careful with your heart, your mind, and your will. You can't serve these things. Things. How much things it take? How much do you have to have a little bit more? That was old Rockefeller says. How much money do you need? He says, a little bit more. And that's the way it is with things. People just got to have a little more things. I'll be a little bit bigger. I'll be a little bit bigger. Just one more things. Things. Things will begin to really affect your relationship to God. Fame will come between you and the Lord. We saw that between Abraham and Lot. Y'all remember Abraham and Lot whenever they began to go on their journey? You know, Lot got saved along the way. Abraham, his faith, counted it righteous because of his faith. You know, Lot jumped on the bandwagon. And, you know, it says there in, I think, 1st or 2nd Peter that Lot was a just man, but you wouldn't ever know about his life. But you see they had a argument between his herdmans and Abraham's herdmans. You know, Abraham was already promised all the land. But he said, well, Lot, you just take what you want to, and I'll just take what's left. You know, Lot chose the word Sodom and Gomorrah, the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't worry about raising a family. He just worried about raising cattle where the riches was. And boy, y'all know the story. You know, I thought I might even preach a sermon on old Lot, because it takes for mothers and fathers to understand what so many of them's doing today. They're selling their kids to Sodom and Gomorrah because of material things in their life. And he was a saved man doing this. I mean, Christians. And selling their kids to Sodom and Gomorrah, the day we're living in, and people that we knew of in our families. They won't serve the Lord. Dang, you need to be careful about things the Lord is reminding us. You know, have you ever played Monopoly? Anybody ever played Monopoly in here? Y'all remember? Anybody ever played? Two people played Monopoly in here. Oh, three people. Okay. Most of us played Monopoly. Most of us played Monopoly. Now, you know, I always liked to play Monopoly, and I liked to cheat when I could. But I liked to play Monopoly. And you know what? You go around and go, and you get $200, and you buy you a house, and somebody lands on a house, you buy you some railroads, and then you buy you another house or two, and then you get you a motel, and boy, the money be coming in. Boy, you be having a good time, and you be putting somebody out of business, and you just keep on going around getting money, go past go, and you just keep on getting money. After a while, you gather it all up, and you put it back in the box. Well, guess what? You gather up all your things, you're going to be put in a box too. And all the things, I'm going to tell you, we're going to gather up in life, you know, we're going to be put in a box. The only thing different, that's a game, Monopoly. And the life we live is not a game. It's serious business. It's serious business. Jesus said we were surrounded by ocean things. We got to be very careful in the day we live. These things, I'm going to tell you what, will take you away from your family. They'll take you away from your church. There's nothing more important than serving Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, thank the Lord that we have a place to come to and people's willing to come on Wednesdays and Sundays. And don't ever, ever put anything before your church life, I'm telling you. If you can help it, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you worried about, that you think going to make you happy, God add them to you. All that you need because of God. Be careful about things. He said there's nothing wrong with having the things. There was very, very rich people in the Bible. Abraham was a very, very rich man. Job was a rich man. I'm going to tell you, David was a rich man. Many, many people in the Bible was rich. Nothing wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with having money. But remember, it's the love of money. It's the love of money. Not money, but the love of money. There have been a lot of rich Christians that give away over half of their money back to the Lord. Nothing wrong with money. You see, if anybody can give money like J.C. Penney, you remember J.C. Penney gave all, 75-80% of his income to the Lord? Did y'all know that? J.C. Penney. Of course, you wouldn't know about his stores now. But you see what people can is rich. Well, maybe you start wanting to do business with God. Well, if you make me rich, I'll give more. Now, see, this is a special gift that God gives some people. If you ain't a millionaire tonight, it's because, you know what, God knows you couldn't use it. You wouldn't give it away. You'd want to hoard it up. But see, there are certain people that God allows to be rich, and they pass it on. These people give millions of dollars away. You see, Lord, know that I wouldn't have done it probably, because I'd been a millionaire, and I would have probably hoarded it up like I do all the little things I got around the house I can't even find. Give it away. Be careful about things. Look what you got in life, and we always want more and different new things, never satisfied. Why? Because things won't satisfy you. That's the reason we got to have all these things. And don't you think the advertisements and the people that sell anything, they knew that. They fly people all around this world to try to sell more things. You're just never satisfied with a thing. Why? Because it'll never satisfy you. You know, it won't last. It never satisfy you. It don't bring security to you in no way. Or too many years ago when someone could say, boy, I tell you, if I had me a crib full of corn and a sweet potato bank and me a couple of gallons of syrup and me a few old hams hanging in a smokehouse, I tell you what, I would be rich. That was a very wealthy person that had those things. And that ain't many things. But you know, I could just, many a person that said, Lord, if I could just have that, a crib full of corn, a sweet potato bank, a few gallons of syrup. What great it was for people to have that. What have you got tonight? Well, we got things and more things. We still want more things. Since I preached this tonight, probably some of you are going to get up and go shopping in the morning. Joyce is one of them. Going after more things. Let's don't put things ahead of the Lord. It's all right to have things. That's not what it's talking about. But be careful while we surround the ocean of things this day we're living in. Thank you for your attendance tonight. If nothing else, we'll stand and be dismissed at this time. Brother Joe Chancey, you mind giving us a prayer, please?